Blog Talk Radio.
Lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Feeling the catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away.
Pleasure to have you on our Newsmaker line. First off, tell us a little bit about yourself and some background.
Well, I like to be known as Aunt Hattie simply because I founded my foster boys' home called Aunt Hattie's Place. And so I've been working, doing that with wonderful staff for almost 20 years now. We opened in 1997. And my first young man I got was 8 years old at the time, and he just graduated from Coppin State in December. So we have just been doing some wonderful, wonderful things with these young people who come to us who've been abused and abandoned and neglected, and we're able to turn these young people around and have them be productive citizens. So we just feel that this is our mission, this is our calling, and this is our ministry. So that's what I like to be called for. My present job is professor at Coppin State University, where I teach teachers who are getting a master's degree in special education. And it's sort of somewhat a full circle in terms of you teaching teachers how to work with these type kids, who like foster kids, special education kids, kids who have behavior problems, are supposed to have behavior problems. And I teach the teachers how to work with these kids and see something positive in all of these kids and just endeavor to reach all of the kids. The glass is half full, not half empty, when you look at a kid.
Excellent. That's excellent. To have that vision to open up a house for young boys, where did that come from? Where did you see that before it happened to visionary to be that point where you actually opened this house? How did that come about?
Well, actually, two ways. My mother died when I was three, and I was raised by a loving stepmother until they closed my schools down in Farmville, Virginia, for desegregation, which led to the landmark case, the Brown versus Board of Education. So my schools were closed for 5 years, and I was in a two-room schoolhouse. But when my father sent me away to stay with relatives in Norfolk, I was uprooted from my close-knit family, the only family I ever knew, and I didn't know my stepmother was not my biological mother because she didn't treat anybody indifferent. So I felt like a foster kid. I just felt so out of place. I just felt so disjointed and traumatized. So I can relate to my foster kids when it comes to Aunt Hattie's Place. And then secondly, I taught special education for years, and most of my special education classes were filled with black boys. And there were supposedly behavior problems. There were supposedly learning problems. But these were truly the most gifted and smartest kids in the whole school. They knew how to misbehave on purpose to get out of a boring classroom. And I tell my teachers, if you got something going on in your classroom, your students are going to be there. So you don't have to say, well, you didn't come to school yesterday, but if you had something going on yesterday, they would have been here. So with my teaching special ed for years, and many of these kids were smart, these black boys, I just felt the missing link was the home. I could teach my teachers how to do what they could do, but the missing piece was the home. So I just decided, well, that's it. That's my ministry. If I could have a home where I could raise these kids, because I was assistant superintendent of schools of Baltimore City when I opened my boys' home, so I could train all of my teachers, but still the missing piece was home. So I decided, well, let me just take them home for one night, and then 1 week, and 1 month, and then the rest is history. Here it is, almost 20 years I've been teaching and rearing foster kids for close to 20 years. So that's where it came, my background, and also with me teaching these kids, and they were really the smartest kids in the school. And there were behavior problems. Many behavior problem kids were put in special ed, not because they had a learning problem, it's because they had behavior. And I used to tell my kids, I don't have behavior problems. I don't have behavior problems. They said, well, you don't know we behavior problems. I said, no, you used to be behavior problems before you got me. You are going to be the best kids in school. You watch. And you give them something to live up to. You give them something to do to show that they know how to behave. And they just want a little praise and attention. And that's what I did.
Excellent. To have that vision and to actually put it into motion, and now 20 years later, it's still in existence, I want to take my hat off to you. It's commendable. And what you're doing is truly God, good works. You are doing something that makes a difference in a child's life. A teacher is a very, very important aspect of anyone's life because they teach you skills to be a man or a woman. But you're taking what they call special ed children who are not, in your terms, special ed at all. They just need attention. They need something to do because they're really basically intelligent. They have all the qualities of being a genius. It's just that people have neglected them and they have a so-called behavior problem. When we come back, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want you to touch upon the book that you wrote.
Okay.
One Out Newsmaker Line, the one and only Dr. Hattie Washington. This is the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. It's networking on the radio. We'll be right back.
Harder than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Feeling the catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away. Oh, she got both feet on the ground and she's burning it down. Oh, she got her head in the clouds and she's not backing down. This girl is on fire.
Welcome back. The Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. On our newsmaker line, Dr. Hattie Washington, and she's on fire. She is red up. She's making things happen in the DMV. She is an extraordinary, phenomenal woman. Tell us about your book and what's the name of it and the background of the book.
Well, it's interesting. This girl is on fire. I didn't know that was for me, but
That's for you.
Yeah, the book is called Driven to Succeed, and I guess you have to be on fire to be driven, and it's called a Driven to Succeed, an inspirational memoir of lessons learned through faith, family, and favor. And I just talk about how I grew up, how I, even though my school closed when I was in the fifth grade, And I had to do all kinds of, I went through all kinds of challenges and obstacles to continue my education. Even, as I said, was sent away from home to stay with strangers and had to work, and didn't really get paid for it. And you had people who didn't really value education, so I had to study under the cover with the flashlight because people didn't value education, and they were more concerned about burning electricity. So in spite of all of those obstacles, I was the first person in my family to graduate from high school and the first person to go to college. And I give credit to the black colleges. I stepped on Norfolk State's campus, had not applied, didn't know you had to apply, and I was looking for my homeroom. And they said, well, have you been admitted? And I said, well, I don't know what that means. And they said, have you applied? And I hadn't applied. So they took me by the hand and helped me to fill out the application, and I didn't know you had to pay. So they just took me through and helped me get a national defense loan and all of that. So I talk about all of those struggles in my book, and I talk about how I reared my boys' home, how I started my boys' home, how I got the particular house that I am in now because of divine intervention. And I talk about a few divine interventions in my life. I talk about how I reared my two daughters. One is an attorney and one is a physician. And what were my teaching and learning and parental skills for these young ladies to be that. In fact, my older daughter, who is a physician today, the teacher wanted to put her in special education in the fourth grade because she was supposedly so hyperactive, wanted to put her on medication. And I said, no way. So I put her in ballet, put her in swimming, put her in anything I could think of to get that energy out. And so I talk about all of that in one chapter. And then I talk about another chapter called The Dark Secret, whereby I interviewed my 90-year-old aunt. And she waited until I interviewed her, being 90 years old, to tell me some things that happened back in the day that I had no clue. But a lot of things kind of fell in place once she share that information on domestic violence and suicide and so on. So the book is a combination of things, but it's also a history, black history memoir, because I talk about the Brown versus Board of Education. I talk about the strike in Farmville. I talk about Martin Luther King coming down to Farmville, NAACP, trying to get those schools open, trying to get better facilities for those black kids in Prince Edward County. So if you read that, it's like a living legacy, whereby I'm living to tell about it. Many times you read about history and people are already dead. So I can share my history from a personal point of view and with school kids who don't even know too much about our history, because for some reason, once we arrive, we don't tell our young people about the black history because you don't want them to be depressed. You know, so there are different schools of thought about how much do you tell kids, but they need to know the struggle so that they can appreciate the opportunities that they have.
Excellent. That's commendable. And how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, interesting. I've been writing on it, keeping notes for over 10 years. I started writing my book before Open on Hattie's Place in 1997. When my daughters graduated from law school and medical school, I wanted to write a book and say, don't ask your daughters to marry a doctor or lawyer. Tell them to be one. And I was going to write that book, but it was either writing the book or opening a boys' home that needed help right then. So I just decided to open up a boys' home and keep some foster kids. Didn't know how long I would do it. I just put my book on the back burner. So when I got sick last semester, and I'm an A-type personality, I just couldn't lie there and get well without doing something. And so I got a call from my cousin in Virginia Beach who said, Nick, it's time for you to write your book. You got so much wisdom. Everybody looks to you for raising their kids, all your nieces, nephews, and cousins. Everybody call you, say, what do I do? And you got something to tell them that's why. She said, you need to write all this stuff down. So I said, yes, you're right. I know it's time. Then I went to lunch that same day with a girlfriend of mine, and she was asking for some advice, and I was sharing with her. She said, have you ever thought about writing a book? She said, because you just know so much about so many things, and you just speak from your heart. And I said, that's it. That's it, with two validations in one day. And I came back home, and I just jumped in the pool with both feet and just started writing. Got all my notes and put them all together and just started writing.
Fantastic. We got callers on the line. Phones are lit up. Caller, you on the line with Auntie Hattie's place, Dr. Hattie Washington. Say hello. Air code 410-382. You on the air. Go ahead. Caller, you on the air. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead. We're going to take another break. We got several calls in the air. We're going to take another break. When we come back, Dr. Washington, I want you to expand on your book signings, where you're going to be, how
okay.
to get your schedule, how to get in touch with you. It's so important
okay.
what you're doing because people love what you're doing. We'll be right back with Dr. Hattie Washington. This is the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you, and she's definitely on fire. She's burning this DMV up. We'll be right back.
www.drhnwashington.com. And the H stands for Hattie. N is my middle name, Washington.com. That's DR for Dr. HNWashington.com. And my wonderful marketing consultant, Bruce Smallwood from Mount Vernon Marketing, has prepared all of my slides and pictures, et cetera, to be on there. So my website is there. My phone number is there. If you want me for a speaking engagement or a book signing, just call and get on my schedule. And you need to know that the book is going hard copy at the end of this month. It's paperback now, and it's going to be translated into Spanish because they have another book signing in Mexico coming up in June, and so we wanted the resort to have it in Spanish, the vice president asked, and then we'd be in Martha's Vineyard this summer. Again, I was there last summer, so we have several other places that we're going to go. I'll be in Farmville, Virginia in July, where it all happened, and we're going to be going down the trail like what I did when I was in the fifth grade, the dirt road and where I lived, and we're going to just walk that route, almost like the Underground Railroad, and make a picture book. We're doing a tabletop picture book, which is also going to be like a teaching guide of history and social studies, and I'm going to have thinking, high-order thinking questions about history, et cetera, in the tabletop picture book that would appeal to elementary kids to know their history from a person who has lived it. And I have a cookbook that's coming out as well. Because when you read this book, I talk about those wonderful recipes from the South, where my stepmother taught me how to cook, using fresh vegetables from the garden, everything alive before there was anything called organic. We used all that back in the day. So I'm going to put those recipes down because I have so many people just love my cooking. You say, would you make your chili? Would you make your macaroni and cheese? Would you make a bread pudding? Or would you bring this to the family reunion? So I'm end up bringing different things. So I'm going to do a cookbook as well. So people can go on the website and read all about what we're doing. And if they need me to come, they can just go on the website. And my phone number is 443-804-6545. That's 443-804-6545. And all that's on the website as well. Again, it's drhnwashington.com.
Fantastic. Anybody that wants to speak to Dr. Washington, please speak up. The lines are lit up. Air code 410-382, you can speak to say hello to Dr. Hattie Washington. People just want to listen to you this morning, Dr. Washington. They love what you're saying. Basically, I want to commend you for what you're doing and how you're doing it and all the things that you accomplished in your life. It's not easy doing what you have done. You really, really have accomplished a lot to be a phenomenal woman that you are. How was it that you could raise two children to be successful in a career as a lawyer and a doctor? Being a doctor is real hard for a man, but to be a doctor as a woman is extremely harder, in my opinion. But you accomplished two feats. Normally, if you had one or two or three children, one be successful, maybe another, but always there's one that's not. In your case, you have two. That's worth writing about. But what do you contribute?
Yes.
How far apart are they, and how did you contribute to get them not to be what they call sibling rivalries, or how did you get them to be both on the same page and to be successful?
Well, actually, they're 2 years apart. Both of the birthdays are in September. So they're 2 years apart. My older daughter loves being the boss, loves being the leader, and the younger one loves to follow, and she loves to look up to her older sister, and they just got along. She served that role, and my older daughter served her role. You know, she loved being the boss and being the leader, and my younger daughter at the time enjoyed just looking up to her big sister. And they just got along playing those roles. And when they graduated the same month from law school and medical school, it took my daughter longer, of course, to go to medical school than it took my younger daughter to go to law school. She graduated, and then she went on to do a residency. So it was always high expectation. I had high expectations. They saw me studying because it took me 10 years to get my doctorate. So they saw me studying after dinner and after piano lessons and after listening to all of their recitals and et cetera. Then they would see me studying. So it was just in them to study and to be disciplined. And so they also knew that I expected the best out of them. And I always told them, you are a student. Now, if you came in with a B and you did your best, then I wouldn't say anything. But I know you are a student. You may not know it, but I know it. And they look at me like, you do? So I would tell them, this is what I see. I see a doctor and I see a lawyer. As a matter of fact, when my daughter was in like the second year of medical school, I got her a sign that said, Sherelle A. Washington, M.D. I said, here, put this on your desk. She said, well, Mom, not even a doctor. Yeah, I said, no, but you're going to become one, so just this is your sign. And my other daughter, who was in law school, I got her some business cards, and I said, Cheryl Y. Washington, Esquire, to graduate May such and so and so, and it's like 2 years out. And I said, these are your business cards. So they just looked at me like, whoa, I got my business cards already and I'm not even finished law school. So I tell my foster boys, you got to visualize it. You got to see it. And then you got to believe in yourself. Then you got to be willing to put forth the effort. It's not going to just happen. You say, I want to be a manager. Okay, how are you going to get to be a manager when you don't read in the books or you don't make good grades? So let's start with, let's look 5 years out. You want to be a manager. Let's look at 4 years. What should you be doing to be a manager? 3 years out, what should you be doing to be a manager? 2 years out, 1 year out, 6 months out, next week, starting right now. Now, you want to be a manager, how's it going to happen? And so I help them to visualize the reality of what you want you can have, but you got to visualize it, write it down, and then tell me what are you going to do to make it happen. And so I told my daughter the same thing. If you want to be a lawyer, if you want to be a doctor, you can be it. And so they believe it in their rooms. And one of them, that's another book I got to do. I just had all kinds of positive poems, sayings, all up in their room, her medical room when she was down at UVA. You know, don't quit. I believe. Have faith. A low aim is sin. So on and so I just had all these positive sayings because that's what I use for me. And she told me, oh, about 3 years ago, she said, Ma, I just remember those poems, and every time I want to give up, I just read that one you put up, Don't Quit, and read one about Benjamin May's low aim is sin. It's not a sin not to reach your goal. It's a sin not to have a goal to reach. And ooh, it's a calamity. It's not a sin not to reach your goal. It's a sin to have no goal to reach for. You know, but you got to have something to reach for. So if you don't know where you're going, how are you going to know when you get there if you don't have a plan? You got to have a plan. You got to work your plan. And so that's what I did for them. And plus, another thing I tell parents, because I train parents as well how to raise their kids, I wasn't trying to be their friend. I got too many friends of mine who are trying to be their kid's friend rather than being a parent. So if I know you shouldn't be over there with those kids, if I know you shouldn't go over there, if I know you shouldn't, the answer is no. That's it. You say, well, why can't I do this? Why can't everybody else do it? I'm not worried about everybody else because I'm not everybody else's mama. So the answer is no. So I kept a 24-hour ring on them. I knew where they were. If I was teaching at Norfolk State, they were there with me. If I was taking a class, if they could not go with me to class, I knew exactly what they should be doing, what they were doing at all times. So you got to know where your kids are, and you can't try to be their friend because then you, when you're trying to be their friend, you're not going to tell them what's right, what's wrong, because you're trying to be liked. And too many parents trying to be liked. And then when the kids get grown, they don't even speak to them because they say, you should have told me this. You should have told me no. You should have let me stay at the 3 o'clock in the morning. You should have said no. And the parents, they're baffled, like, well, I thought I was pleasing you. But they don't want to be pleased. They want a parent. And so that's what I was for my daughters. And they tell you now, she's trying to raise her two daughters the way I raised her. In fact, she's the one who told me, she said, Mom, would you write down, how did you know to give me piano lessons at this age? How did you know to give me ballet at 3? How did you know to let me sing in the church choir and go to Sundays? How did you know all that? And she wants to do the same thing with her two daughters. When I go down there, it's so eerie. She is replicating a little Hattie Washington. I call her Hattie Washington Jr., because she's trying to raise her kids the way I raised her. And so that's the greatest compliment to a parent, is for kids to try to raise their kids the way they were raised. You say, work for them, so therefore why not replicate it? So I train parents. I say, look, it may hurt you more than hurt the kids, but the answer is no. And I used to say to my kids, I'm only going to say something to you once, and I'm going to say it nicely. And I expect for you to do it. I'm not going to tell you 2-3 times. I'm not going to be screaming and yelling. I don't do that. Once is enough. And so they learn I speak softly, and they know I meant it, and that's the way we just get along so beautifully. My daughter talks so softly now I can barely hear what she's saying when she talks to her kids. I said, she's not a chip off the old block.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
We're going to close this out, Dr. Hattie Washington. I'm going to give the callers another chance to speak to you if they want to speak
okay.
to you. Any caller on the line, can you please speak up now? We're closing the show out. Say hello to Dr. Hattie Washington. Call you on the air. We still have the air code 410-382-13. You on the air still? Go ahead. Dr. Hattie Washington, give us some clues.
I'm actually here. Hello?
Oh, go ahead.
Hello?
I'm trying to get you on the air. Go ahead. Say hello to Dr. Hattie Washington.
I say hello to Dr. Hattie Washington almost on a daily basis. This is Bruce Smallwood, her marketing consultant and production manager. And the reason I didn't respond previously is because I'm recording this, so I wanted to make sure that I wasn't part of it. But since you're going out there, I just want to tell everyone else who's listening that Dr. Hattie Washington is a tremendous force for our community. And she's very infectious, and wherever she goes, we had an event with the Osala over the weekend, and she was at the center of the featured artists. We had Mr. Dyson actually stop by, and they shared their books, and he's a big fan upon initially meeting her. So I look forward to further working with Dr. Washington, and I hope everyone does. Go to the website, see the images that we have of her captured during a multitude of events that's occurred over the last year, and be sure to look at the video that we have posted there. There are a couple of videos that one really goes into the workings of the boys' home, and we're working on a new video right now with all the many testimonials that we've gotten through our travels throughout the country. So, Dr. Washington, I love you dearly. Look forward to working with you still. And we're going to go to the duration until you're nationally known. And I thank you, sir, for having her on your show today.
Well, I'm very impressed with Dr. Hattie Washington. I have not met her in person, but we're going to meet her on the 25th. But I saw just the way she was marketing herself at the luncheon. And I was in awe because I'm a marketer. I'm the hardest working man in marketing. And I wanted to make sure that she got to our audience because we talked on the phone and just her spirit, just her demeanor, the way she carries herself, what she has accomplished, it came across the phone. I say, this woman is dynamite. You are.
Well, I just
want
to say about this gentleman, Bruce. Bruce does excellent work and he has such important clients, and to take me on for the cause, because I couldn't afford him. He's just too good, but he's a blessing to me and to my cause, and I just want to thank him again for all the things he does for the Boys Home and putting our word out there, because part of the proceeds of the book, Russell, is going to back to my Boys Home.
Great.
Because we got
fantastic.
Lots of boys to raise, and we need to get money to these young people to send them to college. Because, you know, that is something that I promised them, that if they finish high school, I will see to that they go to college.
Excellent. Well, this will be aired for a year. It's going to our archives. Anyone that wants to hear it can click on our Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, our website. We're going to send the link out. Dr. Hattie will have it. Bruce will have it. He can share it with as many people as he wants. And this is going to do wonders for your book and letting people know who you are. I want to appreciate you for coming on the show today. This has been a pleasure and an honor. This is the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. It's networking on the radio. We'll see you tomorrow morning, and we'll see you Thursday at the Marriott Marquis.
God bless.
Thank you, Russell.
Harder than a fantasy.